Cord. I'm ready to go whenever you're ready.
Okay. Calling the Fire Emergency Services Committee meeting to order for the Kent Park CSD, Tuesday, August 5th, about 5:31 p.m. And the first order of business is the roll call. Would you please call the roll,
yes.
General Manager?
Director Israel?
Here.
Director Bazette?
Here. Very good. Thank you. You know, we're not doing flag salute with committees, are we?
I saw that. We can add that if you'd like.
Why don't we do that? I don't know. I just thought we did, yeah. Would you lead us, Israel, please?
All right.
All right. I'll move it out.
There we go.
There we go.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Okay, the first order is the adoption of the agenda. Do you have any comments, Director Israel?
Nope.
Would you move to adopt the agenda?
Comments?
Wait a minute. I don't know if we do comments on these, do we? Adoption of the agenda and adoption
not
of minutes?
Adoption. Okay, I move to adopt the agenda.
I second it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, motion carries. Okay, and the minutes from our last meeting, have you had a chance to review those? And do you have any comments or any additions or changes?
Nope.
Okay, would you move to approve the minutes from our last meeting?
I move to approve last meeting's minutes.
I second that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. Now we move to open forum. Members of the public may speak on any item not on the agenda that falls within the responsibilities of this committee. So, does anyone have something they'd like to contribute this evening? No? My gosh, what a quiet group we are. Okay, very good.
Move to close.
Wow. Big, quick meeting.
They're going to set a record, you think? Okay, so we move on to departmental matters and the proposed fire code ordinance. Just like Kaylin was going to do that. You're going to cover that,
it
Chief
is
Martin?
He is on vacation. So, the California State Fire Marshal's Office has released the 2025 base fire code. So anytime the base fire code gets released, we have to do a review of the base fire code. So that's what is happening right now. Per the years past, our timelines this year are a little more accelerated. Because at the end of the day, it all has to go to the Board of Supervisors to be adopted for the county. And so the fire prevention officers in the building department are trying to take the building department code adoptions and the fire code adoptions to the county all in one shot. So all the fire prevention officers have been getting together, reviewing the base fire code, and then making recommendations. We can't go less restrictive of the base fire code, but we can go more restrictive. That's due to rural nature, rural firefighting, and some of these other things. So they scour through thousands and thousands of pages of code, and then come up with a statement of facts. They come up with a punch list, and here's what we are recommending changes-wise. In El Dorado County, we do the changes across the board. Each district, all of them get together, so it's one. So we're not doing something different in El Dorado Hills than Cameron Park is doing versus El Dorado County Fire, and so everybody's on the same page with that. So they're finishing that up as we speak. All but one big code change, which is the WUI piece of that code change, and it's so new, they're not going to get through that and really be able to make some solid recommendations. So they're going to take all the other fire codes, we're going to go through, make the recommendations, push forward, and then they're going to see this, how this new WUI code actually truly affects, and then make some changes based off of some peer data versus the first time seeing the code. They were trying to get through that and then just realized that it was not going to happen. So they will have their edits done on August 11th. And if you look at our timeline, August 12th, it's got to go in the board packet with the first reading of the ordinance at the board of directors meeting on the 20th.
Is that for the CSD or the Board of Supervisors?
CSD.
Here. Okay.
So CSD has to go through it first, and then they all get packaged up in one and go to the Board of Supervisors. Then August 21st, we get the email, the public notice out with the Mountain Democrat. September 9th would be the board report for the second reading. The 17th of September is the second public hearing, and then September 18th is the second public notice that goes out, and then that would be through the CSD side, and then it would get packaged up into one package to go to the Board of Supervisors. As we talk about, you know, code adoption, I'm going to jump into the fire chief report because we put it in here as well. And we kind of wanted to try and talk about why we do this and why are we reviewing them. And the purpose of the review is to consider more restrictive provisions based on the unique climatic, geological, and topographical conditions present in the rural and semi-rural areas like Cameron Park and El Dorado County. Part of its extended response times due to the nature of our county. And then the provisions aim to enhance the life safety by implementing a more conservative thresholds for requirements such as fire sprinklers, alarms, available fire flow, which means how many gallons of water per minute are available for firefighting. And so that's really the code adoption. The goal initially was to try and bring everything to this committee first before the board, but just based off of time frames, it was not going to happen. Chief Blankenheim has to have a first read at it first, because it goes to the fire chief first to have the first read before it comes to the board. We've never had, in the years that Callan's been in it, and I've been through it, any really off-the-wall things. It's all been really good stuff for the county. You know, some of the gate stuff has come through there to allow fire access, that may be a little more restrictive than in a urban setting. Some of the requirements to have water tanks for additional water storage in the more rural areas comes out of the code adoption and revision, and so it's all been pretty good. And this happens every time we get a new base fire code that gets released.
How often does that happen?
Every 2 years?
I think we're on a 2-year cycle.
So do you know what the changes are at this point?
I have not seen the statement of facts. So each fire marshal has taken a code and has drafted it, and then the 11th is when they all come back together to put it all in one document.
Okay.
I know it's hard to ask you guys to, you know, for your recommendation if you haven't seen anything. This is all, the timeline is shortened because they want to get it to the Board of Supervisors, and so that's kind of where we're at.
And they need to get it to the Board of Supervisors by the end of the year.
Yeah, it has to be to them in October. So all the fire districts are on the same time frame, so
it just doesn't fit into their agenda. I mean, because there's meetings in November and December. You guys are being put in under the eight ball as far as trying to produce a document in one day. I mean, it seems like a very poor plan driven by unknown schedule.
Yeah, we agree.
Yeah, I mean, it just puts you, I mean, you end up with a bad code because there's mistakes.
And a lot of it, the code hasn't changed.
Yeah.
And so that's what they're looking at, is the changes in each of the codes.
Sure.
Callan feels pretty comfortable with it. more of his expertise than mine.
Hopefully you guys can put together something that...
And if it's not ready, then it's going to get pushed off.
And it's all of the fire agencies together. They're all working together.
No, I get it. That divisions. Makes it even more complicated.
Exactly. they're meeting pretty regularly to go through it all.
No, my only question is, well, I guess they want the fire district's buy-in, right?
Yeah.
But the county has to approve it.
So it's
the county code, right?
The fire district has to approve it first under resolution, and then the county has the final say.
So the question I have is,
Sorry, just one last.
Go ahead.
So it's not a Cameron Park fire code. It's a El Dorado County fire code. Is that correct, or is that wrong?
It is both.
So we have our own fire code?
We can, yes. So we make revisions to the fire code and the restrictions based off of Cameron Park. But as a totality, all of the fire agencies have agreed that we are going to have one like document amongst all agencies. So it's builder doesn't come to Cameron Park and he's under one standards, goes across the street and is in... Mm-hmm. El Dorado Hills or Rescue, and has a different set of standards. So it is
agreed to that a long time ago, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I guess my only concern with that sort of agreement is, does it still work for us in El Dorado Hills versus Camino and Mount Occam and Somerset, where there's a difference in where they're at, the response time? Is there any flexibility in the code that takes that into account?
Yes. Right. And that's really what Callan looks at is it for life safety and for firefighting issues, or is it not? And if it doesn't really base around those issues, then we're not going to make it more restrictive. Because at the end of the day, our goal is to find a pathway to the yes. So anytime we're looking at new construction, new building, improvements, how do we get to the yes is the goal. The end user sometimes may not like the steps to get to yes, but we'll always find a way to get to that yes for them. And so that's part of what he looks at as well, is something in there going to restrict him as a fire marshal to be able to do his job, still meet the life safety factor and the firefighting abilities, but also be able to work with the community on these things and not really put us in a super tight box where we don't need to be.
Yeah. I mean,
we wouldn't...
I don't want to restrict Cameron Park for something that makes sense in the mountains.
Correct. We wouldn't say that you have to put a 5,000-gallon water tank in a property here, but in Grizzly Flat, absolutely, because you don't have a water source. So where there's things with that, there's the other provisions. You either have a municipal water source or you have this.
That's the fire flow.
Yep.
Right. And just a point of clarification, this is a 2025 California Building Standards Code. It becomes effective. And what I've seen before is it's adopted, whether we are moving forward or not, it's adopted. And so now the builders are building to that, but we are still stuck on a code 2 years ago, and it doesn't line up. So that's why they have to have all this in before the end of the year, by November, to meet that. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the question, are you done?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So, the new requirements about defensible space, that is probably the part that's going to draw a lot of attention from our residents. And you probably don't, as it... change from what it is now. Do you have any idea, prediction on that? It certainly is applied to new construction, but I recently sold a property and I got the inspection as a part of it. It was anyway. Is it moving in that direction, becoming a little more restrictive for us?
Yeah, the defensible space standards are the defensible space standards.
Yeah.
What we're seeing is now, because as Chief Hope came and made the presentation about the fire severity zone change, now that triggers the required real estate inspection.
Right.
So we're starting to see those inspections increase in the request for them. Mm-hmm. Some areas are supposed to have them for quite a while, and nobody's asking for them.
Right.
So there's not like an ultimate police out there over doing them. But the realtors are saying, hey, you have to go get this inspection because you're in this area, right? Let's not leave a box unchecked. And so we're starting to see that pick up. The WUI standards that have just come out go to the building code and the fire code, and a lot of it's how the construction is built to meet the new standards with living in the wildland urban interface and, you know, the closed eaves and these other things. And so there being a brand new code, there is all kinds of new things that these folks are going to really have to your point, that was the one that came off first, because they're not going to have the time to really do a deep dive and examine. And as I've learned, the code may say this, but then there's all this really small print at the bottom of the page. And then it says you got to reference this. So then you go over here and you have to read this code. If you read just the first one, your answer is going to be no, or Tim, it's going to cost you $2 million to do this. But then you have to chase it over here, and then, well, if you have this and this, then you don't have to do this. And then you have to go chase this other code. So it's a compounding effect, and that's what's really going to take them a while, is where are those other compounding effects within the new WUI standards, and trying to tie that all together so they have a really clean understanding of, one, how do they enforce it, and how do they even more so educate people on it.
And that's why the rushing bothers me a lot, too. The other thought I have is it requires and mandates some services from Cal Fire, does it not, as our local fire agency? Are you mandated to do things with this, do you think, or the fire inspections that they're going to increase?
So fire inspections are one thing. The code adoption is another thing. The fire inspections are coming because of the legislature and the fire severity zones and that. Yeah, we are seeing an increase in having to go out and provide the inspection.
Right.
But on the other side, no. Where it affects is in Callan Shop and with our contract with InterWest, when they go and do the building inspections, permits and those things, they have to go off of the new code once it's fully adopted.
Yeah.
I think the biggest concern was with the adoption, or even before the adoption, there's been a lot of talk about Zone Zero or the Amber Free Zone, and that we all remember. With new homes, it's easy, it's mandated. What we got from that was that they were going to enforce that on existing homes, and you look at your homes right now, there's just no way. How is that even enforceable? And so that's been the real big conversation on how do you enforce that zero, no vegetation within 5 feet. How do you enforce that?
Not in my neighborhood.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. Not in any of our neighborhoods. Exactly.
Yeah.
So those are the things that they're going to be talking about. I didn't get the impression they backed off of that, but you know, the FPOs are going to figure out, how do we deal with that?
Yeah.
And is this when you sell the house, or just in general?
This is in general, yeah.
And the other piece, you know, with that is we're seeing that with the insurance inspection.
Mm-hmm. That's
what they'll get you.
The insurance companies are coming out and telling you will have Zone Zero.
Yeah.
But then they don't renew you.
Exactly.
You know, correct.
Exactly,
you know,
yes.
I work for these people. I know.
That's exactly what they're doing.
It's happening in our communities all over, especially up in the hill and north and south of us. My partner, Dave Wood, had to spend about $45,000 of work around his house because some inspector that probably had a very minimal training came out and said, you have to clear all of this.
Tell the fire chief that.
Or he was going to lose his insurance.
Right.
Yeah, you know, we're all facing that. Okay, thank you. Open for public comments. Vicki, did you want to ask a question?
This all sucks.
I know. I know.
I feel like I am stuck here until I die.
Yeah.
But if they make it mandatory while I'm still there and not trying to sell, I can't afford it, you know, and I can't sell my house. I mean, This is not your guys' problem. It's just frustrating to me because I keep hearing it, kind of closing in on those of us who live, you know, kind of. Yeah.
And I think Cal Fire can take the heat, as maybe the board is as well, when we approve this, right?
Yeah. But you know, it's just in general. I don't think the public has a clue until they get to the point where they're selling their house or their insurance gets canceled, or and then so many people are surprised that they make a lot of effort and then they're dropped anyway. Yeah. Yeah. And that, we have no regulation, effective regulation in this state in terms of that.
Thank you. Anyone else? No? A very quiet group tonight. Okay. Okay. Does this require an action on our part, General Manager?
No, we would ask that the committee allow this to go to the full board, and it's just to expedite this, to allow it to go directly to the full board.
Does it require a vote, or are we just consensus?
You just consensus.
Are we in agreement?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, very good. Thank you. Okay, moving to the Revenue Enhancement Initiative. General Manager.
Yeah, this is quick and easy. It's an update and discussion. We had a presentation for the last board meeting as it relates to revenue enhancement options. We had a great presentation on 218 options for us from SCI. And I guess I just bring it up here for us to continue the conversation. I don't think the board has not decided on, one, are we going to move that direction, and two, if so, is it parks and recreation, is it fire? That decision has not been made. But I do think that we need to continue to have this conversation. Revenue enhancement is going to be something that we need to be constantly looking at. So I just want to bring it back to here. We did have a presentation. I'm hoping to get additional information and bring that to the full board and get the board's direction on which way we want to go, start to get some community input and go from there.
Director Israel?
Well, I fully agree that we need to move forward. And we've talked about it a little bit in the past, but I think we need to build information on what are we talking about here? What's the cost? Because the board can't make a decision on which way to go without some of that basic information.
Sure.
So how much, and we know operations costs, at least for the next few years. Mm-hmm. We've talked about capital costs for facilities, because if we're going to move forward.
Sure.
I think we need a new station, 88, right? Or yeah, because the current one doesn't get it, or it needs to be rebuilt.
Right.
Something needs to happen there. And what are the costs for all this to operate this? We have at least the beginnings of a capital budget. We need to pull that together and really go, well, this is, if you want this, this is how much it costs. Mm-hmm. So then what's that look like as far as an assessment or whatever mechanism we decide to go? And so I would really like to see staff working on pulling that together so we have that in our pocket, so to speak.
So we will continue to work on that. I haven't, because the board hasn't decided on which way, but in all of our walk and talks with the community, we've been talking about that. We need some sort of revenue enhancement, because I want the feedback from the community. What do you think of that? What I've gotten back resoundingly is we would be interested in supporting that, but we want to know what we're going to get for the money. Mm-hmm. And that was made very, very clear to me is, what does that look like? What am I going to get for that on the fire side? Am I going to get another fire engine? Is the fire station 88 going to stay open? On the park side, what do we get? Are we going to do more at the lake? Are we going to have more reasons to come here? Are you actually going to fix things at the community center? Those are some of the things that come up. None of it's been hostile. None of it's been absolutely.